So since we last had this, we have had a tragedy happen down in Isla Vista, and it caused a lot of conversations and a lot of stories in the newspaper and on Twitter and even in my kitchen and living room and on Facebook pages with old groups of friends, men and women who've hung together for 20 years or more. And there's some serious things that people are talking about misogyny. And then there's one that doesn't get talked about a lot, but I was surprised at how much anger is behind it. And women don't talk about it as much. And that's why I'm going to tell a story about the friend zone this evening. So the friend zone is this problem that occurs when a female person meets a male person and really likes them a lot and wants to hang out with them and drink beer with all their clothes on and do stuff. So that's the problem. And I had a lot of good friends who are men. In fact, some of my best friends are men. And one in particular was a guy named Rob. And I met him at about 22. I was living in Davis. And I met him. He was a little bit older, a couple years older. And I met him because I was dating his neighbor, Sean. And so Sean introduced me to Rob. And Rob is awesome. And he was a fun guy. He was at Davis. He was just finishing up his comparative literature degree on the GI Bill. And he had gotten back from Germany several years before, where every single leave of his was like a European vacation, you know, that any one of us would have just died to have. And so we talked about books a lot and about life and art. He spent a lot of time in museums when he was in Europe. And we'd take big, long walks. And a lot of times we talked about what literature and even visual arts like painting had taught us about people and about characters that we'd read about in books and also characters that we knew. And we like to do some amateur anthropology. So we'd often go out on the town in Sacramento in Midtown where he'd spent his very early 20s and go hang out at all the punk clubs and see where the hipsters hung out and where the frat boys hang out. And we had ourselves a good time. One of my favorite things that we did is we'd go to some parties in Davis. Now, in Davis, what made you popular was a little bit different. In Davis, being very smart and being very cultured is what made you really important. And so in these gatherings of very intellectual people, they'd spend a lot of time proving how smart they were. And one of Rob's favorite things to do was to act not so smart. It was a bunch of fun. So we hung out, and then Sean abruptly got married to someone else. And Rob said, you know, you never told me that you guys had quit dating. And I guess I hadn't. And then a couple days later, he showed up at my house very serious. And I said, do you want a beer? You know, like you do. And we were sitting outside, and he said, I've decided that we ought to go out. And he had a list of reasons. I don't recall whether he had a written list, but he had memorized a list of reasons why it would be entirely appropriate that we would become a romantic couple. We had similar class backgrounds and had come up in the world similarly. So been working class and kind of worked our way up into the cultured bourgeoisie. We had many of the same interests. Absolutely. We like to read the same kinds of books. We like the same kinds of music, same kind of art, high culture, low culture, all that. We also got along well. He said he thought that was very important. That was another reason why it would be entirely appropriate that we would be very successful together as a couple. He had several other reasons. I won't even go into them all. And then he said, well, I didn't really have any reasons. I just said no. I'm like, no. Why not? He said. I said, well, I don't want to. Right? Anyway, that didn't go over well. There was a big scene. He said, I'll let you think about it. Now, there really wasn't much to think about. I knew it right here. No, just wasn't there. But I tend to do some research, you know, in times like this. I'm going to go do some research. So I talked to some folks, and they directed me to some articles. And there's this thing. It's the real thing. The friend zone is a real thing. They call it the Westermarck effect, and it's most notable for kids who grow up together. Even if they're not blood related, they don't tend to mate later in life, probably to prevent inbreeding or something like this. But for older folks, it's people who remind you of siblings you tend to not find sexually attractive, except that women find people who remind them of siblings much less attractive, and for men it's not as marked. So perhaps that's why it's more the case that men are kind of iffy on could date them, couldn't. Yeah, whatever, sure. So anyhow, I thought about it, and there were some awkward times. And sometimes we would get into screaming matches over this. And I'd have to, you know, leave parties that we were at together. And then other times there were really uncomfortable times at my house. He'd call up and say, "What are you doing?" I'd say, "Well, I'm painting a picture. Can I come over?" "Sure, but I'm still going to be painting a picture." Then he'd come over, he'd say, "Will you teach me how to paint a picture?" I said, "No, but here is a paintbrush, here is a piece of paper, I will paint a picture and you carry on then." It was just awkward, and it was kind of a relief when he moved to Eureka. And I have to say that I think that's what happens a lot of times. I think a lot of times when a relationship gets that uncomfortable, our first sort of instinct as women is to just kind of let it go. Maybe not to cause a big scene, maybe not to say, "You need to stop doing this to me." But I felt it was really unfair, because I had a clear conscience. You know, we had walked into this as friends and we were hanging out. And then right in the middle, he just changed the rules on me, said, "Here's the deal. We're going to have a non-clothes wearing kind of relationship, or I'm going to make it really, really difficult for you." So, but the thing is we have a really stable group of friends. So I saw him at parties still. And then we went to Burning Man together a couple times. So he was always kind of around, and we were cool with each other because that was our social expectation. And it wasn't till several years later, we were probably 10 years older than we were then. Life had kicked us both around a bit. I think it was about 2008. And he was going through a messy divorce. I had had a nervous breakdown. We were a little wrecked, but coming out of it. And I was going up to see some friends in Eureka. And I said, "You know, do you want to hang out?" And we were out on a beach. We were out on this beautiful beach up in Eureka. And we got to talking for the first time, really, about what went wrong. And we figured out there was two things going on. And the first is he thought that life was fair as a young man. He was pretty sure that life was fair. And because he was a very nice person, he should have very nice things that he wanted. And that is true. He utterly deserved to have a wonderful woman who loved him for all of his fine qualities. But he wasn't entitled to that, and he couldn't expect it. And I thought that the world was more clear-cut, that there were rules and it was orderly, and things went along in a pretty clear fashion. But I was wrong. It's so messy. And one of the things that we really came to conclude that day is that if the world is arbitrary and chaotic, that really the best thing that you can have are some comrades.